So he opens it up. Well, why this book? Why pick this up? It's a dense book. You know, is it going to cover everything in minute detail? He's going to do modus ponens. You're going to figure out what axioms are as opposed to presuppositions. Let's bring up Bayes' theorem. Let's talk about probability. Well, he says, not quite. So he says, why this book? Well, while popular treatments abound, most rigorous Christians' responses to the problem of evil are dominated by strictly philosophical approaches. Oh, darn those philosophers.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, okay. So something new, something maybe you haven't read before, something in the whole stream of you probably answered this question. What about evil with your family, your friends, internet atheists, the nice atheist down the street who bakes cookies for you and just loves everyone but can't stand the Christians except for you. You're good. You get cookies. Well, he finds it unfortunately.
Most of the books have this philosophical approach, right? Yeah.
That's not because that he finds them problematic. There's our keyword for this century. to the contrary, they are useful, but by themselves they remain inadequate, he says. Mm. Well, comprehensive, biblical, theological, and exegetical, as opposed to eisegetical, responses are wanting. So he views that kind of the philosophy builds up to God, and we've seen that critique, especially from the presuppositionalist camp to the classical camp, is seeing that a lot of philosophers tend to be the big apologists because they kind of have a seat at the table. They know the Bayes' theorem, they know the classical arguments, they know Hume and respond in the same manner. But he says that there's a need for this biblical, you know, answering the question derived from the Bible, from theological concepts, and from the exegetical responses.
Yeah, look at that. So he doesn't want this to be just a philosophical answer to the particular question. He wants to dive deep into the Bible to find out what the scriptures have to say and how the scriptures deal with this particular issue, right?
And it's not to say that it isn't philosophical in terms or in formation, because if you're talking about arguments, if you're talking about thinking processes, guess what? You're doing philosophy. So that's the whole thing. That's the great thing, is philosophy has kind of been this, faulty towers type ideal that, you know, Hume and the rest of them knocked down, but only to be built back up again. So now that we're talking about, what's the definition of is and stuff like that. So, hopefully part of this show has been to bring you into the world of philosophy and say, hey, guess what? It doesn't have to be scary. And just because this book is a certain length, it should actually be a great part because of all those three parts that he views. And it's what he's claiming is kind of a new territory or stuff that hasn't been fleshed out to his liking enough.
Right. So he says that, you know, in treating the subjects, he will not be as rigorously focused on the plethora of apologetic matters that most philosophical books on this topic are concerned to address. But he says this doesn't mean that the book has no apologetic value.
Sure.
Right? He believes it does. But traditional apologetic approaches, he tells us, are not really his immediate objective, right? So yes, it does have some apologetic value, but that's not what he's trying to focus on, right?
So maybe people that read it can meet together and pull out the apologetic reasons.